Well, we just got done celebrating the 4th of July, Independence Day. Most people in the United States will celebrated it. Except a few think it's being disloyal to God to be loyal to your country. If we're celebrating this day, you're also honoring our military that has fought for the freedoms we enjoy. Mainly, we're celebrating what our country has meant to us. What does independence mean to you? On this day, our founding fathers declared their separation from the country they had previously called home. The government they were under made decisions for the colonists in America without the representation of the voices in that matter. Most colonists were not looking to separate from Britain. They only wanted the rights that others had within the empire. British sent a large militia to maintain their control with very little effort toward making the colonists feel heard. Instead of maintaining control, this stirred up the colonists and they began to see their future as one that they must secure their rights apart from the empire. These are seven actions that led the colonists wanting to govern themselves. The Stamp Act happened in 1765. Parliament passed a law to tax the colonies to pay for their debts after their war with France. The Townshend Act in 1767, they began to tax goods that the colonies imported from Great Britain. The Boston Massacre, 1770, tensions between the occupying army and the colonists in Boston boiled over concerning an apprentice wig maker. The colonists began mocking the militia and throwing stuff at them, which resulted in the soldiers firing on and killing some of them. I think only three died, but you know, if you're one of the three, that's not good. Then the one we all know about, or you know, what people think of when they think of Independence Day, is the Boston Tea Party, 1773. They withdrew their forces, but they did not get rid of the tea tax that was to help the struggling British East India Company. They also were not allowed to buy tea from any place else. Colonists dressed up as natives and dumped the tea into the harbor, and this act of defiance really angered the British government. The Coercive Act of 1774, Parliament passed a series of laws that closed the British harbor until restitution was made for the destroyed tea. Then there's the Lexington and Concord. 1775, British soldiers sent soldiers to capture John Adams and others they considered to be radical leaders. Word leaked out, and some, like Paul Revere, got word to them before the British arrived. British attacks on coastal towns in 1775 and 1776, hostility spread from Lexington to Concord to other coastal towns. Firing on these towns by the British Navy worked to unify the northern and southern colonists. The southern colonists had not been wanting to go to war. They wanted to stay with Britain because they depended on them. They got everything from Britain, which would make life a little simpler, but the north wanted to get stuff everywhere, whatever was cheaper. By May 15, 1776, the Virginia Convention instructed its deputies to offer the motion that these United Colonies are, and of right, ought to be free and independent states, which was brought forward in the Congress by Richard Henry Lee on June 7th. John Adams of Massachusetts seconded the motion. By that time, the Congress had already taken long steps towards severing ties with Britain. Papers were drawn up and signed by July 2nd, and then ratified by all the delegates on July 4th. Now, a lot of the people think July 2nd should have been the day, and John Adams was one of them. When they would offer him to come and speak on July 4th, he'd decline it. He said it should be the second. When we celebrate this day, we are not just holding a memorial to that document. We're celebrating the country that we had been nurtured in. We celebrate those brave men, some of them teens or barely out of their teens, who fought for the independence of this country. We celebrate all those who have bravely fought to maintain the freedom of the world so we could carry on our freedoms untouched. Does having an alliance to your country take away from our allegiance to God and His kingdom? Some believe it does. If we'll turn to Numbers 2, Numbers 2, and we'll read 2 and 3. Every man of the children of Israel shall pitch by his own standard with the ensign of his father's house, far off about the tabernacle of the congregation shall they pitch, and on the east side toward the rising of the sun shall they of the standard of the camp of Judah pitch throughout the armies. Nashon, the son of Amminadab, shall be captain of the children of Judah. So why did each family need flags of their father's house and another of their tribe if it was not to show some patriotism? Numbers goes through and shows that each tribe had their flag and the name of their captain. Captain was over the armies of the tribe, and they would carry their banner with them into battle. The word standard in these verses is Strong's H1714. It's D-E-G-E-L, Degal, and this just means a flag or banner. We owe a certain allegiance to the country that has sheltered us, provided us with the opportunity to develop and have the means to live. This does not diminish our allegiance to the one who owns all and gives all. If you'll turn to Deuteronomy 8:18. I'm going to read this from the Good News Version. I think it makes it pretty clear. Remember that this is the Lord your God who gives you the power to become rich. He does this because he is still faithful today to the covenant that he made with your ancestors. If there's ever a conflict between obeying God and celebrating a national holiday, then of course the choice is pretty clear. You're going to obey God. The only way it would become a choice is if it fell on a holy day or is required to denounce God to show your allegiance to the national flag, and there's no holy day near July 4th. We are safe in that point, but as our nation moves more and more towards removing God, the time could come when they would make us choose in order to remain citizens, but there's still only one choice. You stay with God. Some believe you can't be loyal to both, but I believe you just put God and His kingdom first. That's the most important. No one questions your loyalty to your spouse or things that it takes away from, you know, wanting to be a bride of Christ at His return. God expects us to have loyalty. We are to show honor to our earthly parents and to support and honor this land that He gave us. We are to dress it, keep it, and do all within our power to maintain it. Fully recognizing that it is God who gives us this nation, and He can also take it away. We totally understand that our eyes are on the kingdom made without human hands, the kingdom that cannot be corrupted and led away by sin. Our loyalty to this earthly nation is dependent on its leadership. Our loyalty will vanish as a nation sinks further and further away from God and becomes a nation we do not know. Our loyalty to God is everlasting because He is steadfast and does not change. If you'll turn to 1 Chronicles 29, First Chronicles 29, and we'll read verse 11. And this will be the closing verse. Yours, O Lord, is the greatest, the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty. For all this is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all.